Is your business struggling? Do you need a custom business plan to get ahead? All you need to do is ask Sharifa, the premier business consultant who is focused on your success. From digital marketing to business planning, I bring over 25 years of experience to work for you. As a host of three different talk shows, I can get you connected to your audience right away. Visit AskSharifa.com for more information. Do not face the unknown alone. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Happy Friday to you. Thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I have a very special show for you today. This show is going to be a little different. Typically, I sit down with five entrepreneurs, five business owners, whether they're CEOs, executives, startups, whatever it is, and we have a roundtable organic conversation about business, marketing, health, wealth, what's going on in the world, and the conversation develops organically. Today's show, we're going to sit down with one special guest. You've seen him before, but we're going to have the opportunity to learn more about him. But while I'm getting ready for the show, I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do, and that is to go out and be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show. There's someone in your network, maybe in your house, in your neighborhood, who needs this information. They want to learn from our guests, and you definitely will want to learn from today's guest, because when he was here before, we had an incredible time. Now, I just want to let you know that today's show is brought to you by The Real Estate Playbook, a 100% educational workshop presented by real estate instructor Deborah Spence, with a simple promise to help you develop a clear plan to sell more homes and earn a consistent income selling real estate. It's an in-person and it's a virtual event. The link is in the Facebook post. Definitely want to check it out. And so while you're finding out more about the Real Estate Playbook, I'm going to go ahead and introduce today's guest, Mr. Jason Lockhart. Jason Lockhart was born in Gardena, California, where he grew a love for design and architecture. He is a partner in an architecture and planning firm and also the CEO of a marketing agency that works exclusively with the designer and remodel industry. With over 20 years of experience in architecture and interior design, we'd like to welcome Mr. Jason Lockhart. Good morning, Jason. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Sharif? How are you today?
I'm excited. I remember having you on the show before and you were full of energy and you were helping the other guests. That's what stood out to me. It was like when you were talking about architecture and the conversation just went so many places. So for the people who missed that show, for whatever reason, go ahead and tell us about yourself, who you are, what you do, and what you're passionate about.
Sure. Jason Lockhart. I am the partner in an architecture firm called Synetics. And we've had that firm since about 2008, so for about 15 years now. And in the architecture firm, we do commercial design, school design, and then we do a lot of master planning, because my background is in architecture, but I'm also an urban planner. So we do a lot of planning for universities. So we work with Southern University, where I used to also teach. We also have a client here in the Dallas area, the Dallas County Community College, and we do a lot of work with them. And so what ended up happening is around 2012, one of the interior designers that we work with, she saw how we were doing marketing for ourselves. And so she asked us to do marketing for her. And so since I was helping out on her, the project that she was helping us out with, I said, sure, we'll do this. And we didn't really charge her anything. We were just helping her with her marketing. And so after a few months, she started to have some real success. And then she said, this is amazing. Y'all are doing some great work for us on the marketing side. And so she referred some of her colleagues to us. And I was looking at the partners that I have in architecture firm, like, okay, this is starting to turn into something. And so we started to help them out, had some more success, and then they referred us some colleagues. And then a year later in 2013, that's when we began Kitchen and Bath Marketing Solutions. And so that was the start of that whole thing, where we just exclusively work with residential architects, home remodelers, and also interior designers. And so that was the start of that. So we've been working with that for about 7 to 8 years now. And honestly, all the way up until last year, well, I say last year, all the way up until the end of 2019, actually all of our clients on the marketing side were all through referrals. So over 95% of our clients were all referral based. So oddly enough, the marketing agency didn't do any marketing because it was all referral based. So right in 2020, we decided to actually market ourselves because we wanted to be more national, because most of our clients are in the South, whether that be Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, in that area. And then we have a few, you know, we have a few in California where my hometown is. We have a few in Chicago and then in New York. And so we wanted to broaden out. So the plan was we were going to have a whole marketing pitch and everything, rebrand and everything. And we redid the website, had everything ready to go. And the plan was at the beginning of March to do a big rollout. But we all know the world changed in March 2020.
Right.
So when the coronavirus hit, and you know, my marketing team looked at me and they said, well, this is going to be, we're not going to be able to do what we plan to do, because if we start talking to business owners about marketing, they're going to be like, do you know what's happening in the world? Like,
right
now is not the time. So what happened is one of my classmates who's he's an executive director for an economic development agency in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. He sent me a newsletter. And in the newsletter, there was an agency that was helping out restaurants. And they had tips on how they can manage throughout the coronavirus and have success. And so when I saw that, a light bulb went out off in my head. I said, why don't we do a resource guide for business owners in the design and remodel industry to help them throughout this whole, you know, coronavirus pandemic. Mm-hmm. And so after about a week, it took us about a week to develop it. And it's an 8-page guide. We still have it on the website now, but it offered tips on how to market now. We had links to the SBA, the PPP, because you remember in mid to late March, it was a wild, wild west. Nobody knew where to go. It was links all over the place. Nobody knew what to do, what to click on. So we organized all of that. We also had on there how to work from home, because a lot of the business owners in the space didn't know how to work from home. And so we had tips on how to work from home in there, and just a whole lot of information to help them out. And so what we did is we handed that out to business owners on LinkedIn, and we just started to hand it out. And about 2 weeks later, a few of the business owners reached back out to me and said, Jason, this is good information. What else do you have for us? Now, to be honest, and for all the people out there, we didn't have anything else planned, but I didn't tell them that. I said, we have something in the works. I'm gonna let you know when we have something. So when I got off the phone with most of them, I was like, this has been a hit that, you know, now business owners are asking us, what else do we have to help them out? And we don't really have anything. So I had asked my team for some ideas, and they had some ideas, but I'm like, nah, that don't sound right. I'm like, why don't we ask these business owners what they want to see? So what we did, we began a listening tour. So for about 3 months, from April to about June, we talked to over 400 business owners in the design and remodel space to see what was happening in the industry in their area, where they saw gaps in the field that we might be able to help out, and where we could provide resources that would help. And over that time span, we learned a lot of information. We learned about what the needs were, what needed to be done. So we developed on our website a resource library, and that is by far the most searched area of our website, where we have free articles, free trainings, we have webinars on there, we have video trainings, everything. And we add to that aspect of our website once a week. So we add information on there all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's just our way of giving back to the industry, and to help out those that may have been hit hard or those that may want to do marketing on their own and just need some help. And mm-hmm. so that's what has happened over the last year. And when we were on your show, I had just published my marketing book, which I have here, the complete guide to internet marketing for the kitchen and bath industry. So it just went live when I was on your show last time. And since then, maybe a part of your show too. So I would like to thank you for that too. So I actually had a lot of interest and I've been having a lot of speaking engagements since then. So I appreciate that. And I actually had people outside of the design and remodel space. I actually had a roofer reach out to me about 2 months ago, mid to late February. He had reached out to me and he said, I had got your book from one of my design clients. And we were working on the roof and I was asking her, how was she doing her marketing? And she was giving me a lot of great ideas. I said, where did you get that from? She was like, you ought to read this book. So I bought the book on Amazon, read it. I applied some of the information that you have in the book and it's working. And I just wanted to reach out to you and tell you thanks. And I'm like, oh, so that was great. So happy to hear that. And we're all about helping out, giving back. Like you said, when I was on last time, I was helping out. So I'm all about, because I used to also be a teacher. So I used to teach at LSU, at the School of Architecture, and also at Southern University, at the School of Architecture, and at the School of Interior Design. So helping out, giving back, that's just honestly in my blood. So,
okay, so it sounds wonderful. The question I have for you, or one of the questions I have for you, Jason, is you mentioned that people did not know how to work from home. You know, for me, it's like, okay, you get the computer, put it on the desk, sit down, do the work. Like, that's it. That's the formula. You know, that's the recipe. What is it that you found that people did not know? And what is the correct way to work from home?
Well, that's a loaded question. So, so let me say what they did not, I would say what they did not know, but what they didn't really realize mm-hmm. is that how you organize your files online is not the same in an office, because most offices, they actually have security, they have IT, they have all they need in place. So to prevent hacking and all of that, one of the biggest areas are that we found that was an issue was cybersecurity.
Okay.
Because like I said, in the office, you actually have IT help, IT support to help out with all of that. Now, when you're working at home and you're trying to communicate with your employees or with clients, now you're communicating on a home network that may not be secure.
Right.
And so what we were seeing a lot of is a lot of hacking that was going on because they didn't have a secure home network where they didn't have to worry about that when they were in office because they had IT support, they had virus protection and all of this, where at home they didn't have any of that. So that was one of the main issues we saw happening, is that there was a lot of hacking, there was a lot of security issues. They had to think about how they would send files over their home internet as opposed to over the work internet. So that was a huge issue that we had addressed in, you know, the document that we had out, but I was getting from our own clients, honestly, I was getting calls about how do we handle this. And so we actually have an IT person that we work with that we was having them reach out to help secure their home network.
So that was the main area? What about, you know, people have talked about one of the other areas that a lot of people had a hard time with was either roommates or other mm-hmm. people in the house. You know, I read an article on, you know, how do you work and your roommate smoking weed all day? You know, it's like these instances. Did you see people who had certain instances like that?
That and kids. Because if you remember, March and April, most of the schools were out. And
right.
I actually have a kindergarten and I have a second grade. So I had the same issues because we were used to working from home on our end because we had worked half the week in the office, half the week at home. So we were used to working at home. But we weren't used to having the kids at home while we were working.
Right.
So that right there was a change having to, and what would happen, you know, a lot of time when I would hop on a meeting, I would have a disclaimer. Well, you know, I have my kids, so you may hear some sounds in the background, but after a while, people were like, well, I got the same thing. So don't even worry about that. So that was an adjustment too. Mm-hmm. And honestly, for the people that had younger kids like myself, where homeschooling and virtual school isn't the same. Like right. if you have middle school, high school age kids or college, they're on their own, they're independent. When you have elementary school, like my kids are learning how to read.
Right.
So to have virtual school, I got to take off to make sure to explain to them what to do. So right. That was a whole nother dynamic where I'm now having to be a teacher and incorporate teaching into my work day. So mm-hmm. that was a whole different dynamic.
Let's talk about being a teacher, not even just a teacher, you know, in your work day, but just being a teacher. Because one of the things that I talk about is that I am just so grateful that I didn't have school age kids during this time frame, because my kids would have been in trouble. My kids are 24, 27 now. So they, you know, they doing their own thing. But if I was the teacher and I'm trying to teach this, I can't guarantee that they would have graduated. How do you as a parent get through this process of being a teacher while you're trying to figure out everything else that's going on in the world?
Well, to be honest, it was hard at first because I'm going to just talk from my own experience, what happened at the school where I was. So when we went virtual, most of the teachers have not ever taught online. So right. This was all new to them. This was completely new. And when this all happened, we were on spring break. Mm-hmm. And then the next week we were out. So most of the students and the teachers, this was all new to them. So they didn't have ironed out what they were going to use in terms of whether it was going to be WebEx or Zoom. And then if you remember, Zoom was having a lot of security issues at this time too. So,
but not only security issues, they were having issues with the load on the server. So, exactly. I mean, I remember that time frame where I was hosting shows. I do 5 shows a week, and 2 out of 5 shows, I wasn't even able to connect to go live. And so right. I was like, oh my God, they're about to kill my show. But after a while, you know what I mean? Zoom actually got to a point where they were no longer accepting new customers at all. They just had to cut it off. Because the mm-hmm. demand that was on the server was so high. I was like, ooh, I got in. I've been using Zoom for years, right. But it was still a difficult process for me.
So yeah, so that was happening. And so many of the teachers were not used to the virtual space and used to having to teach online like that. And so I actually had to talk to a few of the parents because a few of the parents reached out to me and they were complaining. Like, this is so terrible. And they knew I used to teach at the college level and I taught a virtual class. So they were asking me, so is it this hard for you? Was it this hard for you? Just so unorganized. And I had to say, calm down, take a step back. You can't compare what's happening now to what I did. Because when I taught, when I had a virtual class, I knew ahead of time I was going to have the virtual class. So I had months to prepare.
Right.
I mean, I had months to prepare, you know, the syllabus, the assignments, what was going to happen. They knew in about a day.
Right.
And all of this is, so you got to give them a break. So now, this semester or last semester, when we went back in August and we were virtual for the first 9 weeks, it was ironed out. Everything was fine. Mm-hmm. But in April, when this started in March and April, it was a nightmare.
Right. I was speaking. It was interesting to me because I had made so many different assumptions about what was going on in the world. And you think just because someone is doing something in California, that's the way it is in Florida, and that's the way it is in Washington. And I was like, oh my God, it's not like that. And what, not just teaching, but what I remember about the global pandemic in general is I'd be talking about being locked down. And then I get a guest from Florida and they're like, well, we're not locked down. We're what? I'm like, How are you open and we're closed? Florida just refused to stop the party. But it was so different, you know, even the way the schools handled it. I was talking about an incident where I knew someone who the school literally emailed them a 90-page PDF for each week. And then they emailed them, oh, no, if you think that's bad. So it was for each week. And initially, they emailed them the package for the first 3 weeks. And told them to go print it out. So the person who received it, they called me because they were like, I don't know what to do. They said, you know, print this, do this. And I'm like, well, send me the email. So they forwarded me the email. It has three attachments. Each attachment has 90 pages and they don't have a printer. They're going to Kinko's. And so I said, okay, you do realize that if you go to Kinko's at $1 a page for just 90 pages, how much this is going to cost you? And she was like, no, I didn't even think about that. I'm like, okay. So she wound up pushing back to the school and telling them, no, like you have to print it. They wound up printing it for her. She went up and picked it up. But so I was sharing this story with some other guests and they're like, well, at least she got a packet. I'm like, what does that mean? They're like, well, at least she got a packet. I'm like, you didn't get a packet? They like, no, they sent us home and literally told us, teach them something. Like that was the extent of what they sent these parents and these kids. I'm like, what does that mean? Like, they were like, that's what they told us. Like, teach them something, Spanish podcast, and we don't care. Just teach these kids something. So it's just incredible. It was just to see how people handle things in different ways.
And that, and for us, the first month was super hard because they were not organized at the time, which I understand. Mm-hmm. But they were sending home a lot of work, like literally. And after week one, I actually reached out to the teacher. I said, y'all have to calm down on the amount of work. Because y'all understand that they don't know how to read yet. And so I'm having to explain. So I'm actually having to work now at night because during the day is all teaching. And it was so much work. Like you talk about with the 90 page, it was not that much. Mm-hmm. But For at the time she was in first grade and just the amount of work list letters and reading notes and you know, your own kids don't respect you as a teacher.
Right.
They respect you as a parent.
Right.
And they were not wanting to listen. So I was getting a lot of whining and why are you doing this? You're not my teacher. You're not a good teacher. And you're so mean. You're so tough on me. It's just like, oh.
But did you look at these little kids, Jason, and be like, look, I'm a college professor. I teach at LSU. I know how to teach y'all.
I actually had that talk with a few of the teachers and they were amazed that the time that I was having, and I was like, it's completely different teaching 19, 20, 21 year olds that want to be there.
Right.
As opposed to a 5 and 7 year old that really don't want to be there and are not wanting to learn from their daddy.
Right.
And you know, in terms of the attention span, it's completely different. I'm like, no, I have so much more respect for you all. I already have respect, honestly, because I used to be a teacher, but that just helped me gain that much more because the attention span at that age is so fast. It's not that. And I was just, it was driving me crazy.
I can imagine. When you say crazy, let's ask this question, because you're a teacher during the day, you're a business owner during the night. Mm-hmm. When do you sleep?
You don't. And the only blessing I had is that some of the people that work with me do not have kids or like you, they had older kids, so they didn't have as much issues. So most of the work I was able to hand off and have them do. Mm-hmm. But if it was just me, or if I didn't have a team like that, I would have honestly had no sleep. I mean, I can't even, and I know there were others in that position. And for those people, I send a prayer out to you. I hope everything is in, you know, a better position now, but I would not have been able to operate if I didn't have a team around me that was able to help me out.
Yeah. So again, you're a teacher during the day, you're a business owner during the night, you're not sleeping. There's a global pandemic going on. What do you do for your sanity or for self-care?
Wow. I was actually talking to a mom about this yesterday when I had picked my little ones up from school because we're going to have a play day to have them at a park. So I had found a park during this time that nobody was at. So I was able to take them to the park, let them play where there was nobody at the park. And I was able to just sit in the car, watch them, and just have some me time. Sometimes I wouldn't even have on music or nothing. I would just sit in quiet. Mm-hmm. And enjoy being in quiet. I was not used to that. So that's what I would do. I would do a lot of that.
Well, that's good. That's wonderful. So let's go back to your businesses. Now, okay. Again, you grew up in Gardena. I used to live in Gardena, by the way. I loved it. I was off of Budlong and 135th. Okay. So right there in Gardena. But usually, and I'm not going to stereotype, but I'm a stereotype, Jason. Okay. Usually the people in Gardena don't come out and become architects. How I'm just saying, I grew up in South Central LA. I personally know a lot of people. I don't know a lot of architects, right? What made you go into that industry?
Honestly, I was going to go into art. Okay. So this is just a quick story. So I was an artist growing up, and I used to draw cartoon characters, and I entered into a design competition and won. Mm-hmm. So Disney flew out from New York because they had their animation where they, what soon became Pixar was in New York. Mm-hmm. So they flew out to interview me to see if I was gonna be a good candidate. So they interviewed me, they loved me. I actually had another test on site and passed it. And they said, we would love to have you in the program. So we're going to start a new animation studio, which I said, which would soon become Pixar. Mm-hmm. So at the time, this was all new because, you know, animation, this was in the late 80s, early 90s. So this is, Pixar animation and all that hadn't been heard of at this time. But how they explained it, I was excited. I'm like, I would love to. But the only caveat is I was going to have to move to New York. And my mom was like, oh, that's a no. So I had to change. So I said, okay, so I can't be an artist like I want to be. Mm-hmm. So what can I do? And we actually had a career day at my high school. I was in the 10th grade. Mm-hmm. And I saw
what high school. I need to know what high school.
I was at Gardena High School.
Okay.
I was at Gardena High School. And it was a career day. Mm-hmm. And I saw a Black architect for the first time. Never seen, like you said, never seen a Black architect. So he came and talked to the class. Mm-hmm. And he interested me what he was talking about and how he was explaining architecture. It's a mix of art design, and also technology, because you have to know the engineering side, how to make buildings stand up, but the art of it as well. So he was explaining that. I was intrigued. So after it was over, I had a talk with him, and we just sat, and it was on our lunch break. So I talked to him through my whole half hour lunch break, just, up there picking his brain. And I was intrigued, and he was like, yeah. And then I showed him some of my drawings. He had showed his work. And that's when I honestly got interested in architecture at that time. And like you said, for the first time, I saw a Black architect, which I had not. I assumed they were all older white men.
Right. But I think most people, a lot of them are older white men, but yeah. Not a lot has changed. I know you're a couple of years out of high school, but I can tell you right now, not a lot has changed. Would you like to see more Black architects in the field?
I would. And right now, I believe when I look last, we're only at about 2% of the industry. Mm-hmm. And that's not only Blacks, that's women as well. So Blacks, women, and minorities. If you include all minorities, we may be at about 5%.
Right.
If you include all minorities, and that's included women. So we're still, now when I was in school, we were only at about 1%. So it is growing, but we still have a lot of work to do. And honestly, with how the world is changing, how we're becoming majority minority, and how the US in terms of the world population is so small, and there are so many other cultures and you know religions and all of that out there, that we need to have more diversity in this field. So yes, that is so needed.
So how can we get more diversity in this field?
Awareness, just like what happened to me when I was in high school, when I actually saw a Black architect. I still do a lot of teaching, you know, a lot of career days, because I was actually at last year before we had the coronavirus, this was in January, at my daughter's school, where I'm known as Serenity's dad, because that's my daughter's name. So that's the only place where I'm known as Serenity's dad, because I volunteer a lot at the school. And so I'm known as Serenity's dad. So when I came for career day, and they were like, this Serenity's dad, what is he? He's just up here volunteering. What do you do? So they didn't know about me because they thought I was just a work from home dad. They didn't know what I did. So when I went up there and I actually talked about architecture and I showed some of the models and some of the renderings and the animation, they were like, wow. And I said, you know, a lot of the video games that you all play, a lot of those same people have background in architecture. Like, so even though you have an architecture degree, you could go in so many different directions. You don't have to just be an architect. Like I said, you can design video games, you can do stage design. So a lot of the movies that you see are designed by architects. A lot of plays, you have stage designers. So there's a lot of different avenues that you could go in with an architecture degree. And that's what I was explaining to them, which they had no idea. And so that's where it starts, honestly, is with the awareness.
I think that's wonderful. But let's talk a minute about the technology. I know the technology has changed over the years in your industry. You know, before, a lot obviously was hand-drawn, or you create the diagram. Now, a lot of it is computer-generated or computer-automated. But I think people now have the ability to really dream or vision about the house or the building that they're looking for, and like, I want this element, I want a bowling alley, I want this in it, you know, and then the architecture creates the image or the video or the, however you know the terminology. Right. That's not what I do, Jason, but I've seen them, you know what I mean? I've seen somebody's idea and their vision of what they want, and just giving the architects the vision, and then all of a sudden you can see it come to life.
And so that's so when I was in school, from 94 to 99. So I was in the transition where it was mainly hand, and it was actually transitioning to AutoCAD. So where it was transitioning to a CAD-based field, where you really didn't have to know how to draw. Believe me, it helps to know how, because if you don't know how to draw by hand, or if you don't have that design mind, it hinders what you could do on a computer, because the computer is going to only do what the user knows how to do.
Right.
So when I went back to teach in, like around 2008-ish, when I was at Southern University in LSU, I saw what was hindering a lot of the students was they were trying to design on a computer, and they weren't visualizing a curved wall, or weren't visualizing having an archway a certain way, because they didn't, in their own mind, know what that looked like. So we would have to go back to having them draw by hand and visualize it. And now that they can visualize it on paper, now they can draw it on a computer. So the computer has a lot of advantages, but one of the detriments I see in the architecture and design field is it hinders a lot of the design process if you don't already have that design mind. But if you have that design mind, it can help you. But if it's hard for you to visualize it and you don't know how to draw it, it can hurt you. But nowadays, most of design is taught on the computer. And so, like you said, you can have people, you can have homeowners, you can have business owners or the end user visualize a space where they haven't even seen it. Now they have VR technology where you could put on glasses or even hold up an iPad and hold it up to a space and walk through the space in real time. Like, and there's not, it's an open space, but you can walk through it either with the glasses or with the iPad and see it in real time. So yeah, technology is amazing. Yeah.
it definitely is. What type of marketing clients are you interested in?
Most of the marketing that we deal with, like I said, we focus on architects, home remodelers, and interior designers. So those are the three main clients we work with. Now we do have some other clients in other home services. Like we have, you know, a roofer and we have a plumber and then a few others in allied fields that we work with, but we really focus on designers and remodelers.
Okay, that's good. May have to have you do marketing for one of my companies, Jordan's Router and Plumbing. So we'll get it out there with your help and your assistance. Now, Jason, I have enjoyed our chat, our conversation. We are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching the show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today.
Okay. I would like to start by saying thank you for having me on this show. I enjoyed my time last time. You helped me out, like I said, with the book sales. So I'm sure a lot of that came from the show. And so being here again, you know, I love my time here. And I would just say for everyone that's watching is that to actually patronize small businesses. Because the small businesses are the ones that are the foundation for our economy. And I've seen a lot last year is a lot of the big businesses like the Googles of the world, the Amazons of the world, Facebook, they market share has grown tremendously. But the small businesses are the ones that are being hurt. So I would say patronize your local small business. Patronize small businesses that can help in a lot of the services and the avenues that you may need help with, because we are the ones that drive this economy. So I would just like to emphasize that to a lot of people that are out there watching. And again, you know, thank you for having me on the show. I always enjoy my time, and that's all I have to say for now.
You are so welcome. And if people want more information on you, where can they find you?
If you want to find me, you can head to our website at kitchenandbathmarketingsolutions.com. And they could also type in the acronyms KABMS.com. And that'll also take them there. And they can email me at jason@kitchenandbathmarketingsolutions or jason@KABMS.com.
Fantastic. Jason, I want to thank you for being here today. Thank you for being a guest on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. Just because you didn't catch the show live doesn't mean we still don't need your support, and we still don't need you to go ahead and share the show. But as always, please don't just watch the show. Please don't just share the show. Please go ahead and support our guest. Visit his website, pick up a copy of his book, reach out to him, follow him on social media. And when you send that message, please let him know. Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until Monday morning, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.
Struggling to increase your sales or website conversions? Are you looking for new ways to promote your business through social media or any other campaign? If yes, then you're at the right place. Ask Sharifa has 25 years of experience and the track record to guide you to success. From business planning to social media marketing, from website designing to website development, from search engine optimization to paid traffic, we will research your business, your products and/or services, and the competition to develop a custom growth strategy for your business. Contact us now, and we will help you bring your business growth to the next level. For more information, visit www.asksharifa.com.